Good morning. This is Steve Coleman with your daily inspiration this morning. I wonder how many of us would take advantage of the opportunity if Jesus Christ himself appeared to us, or if we could go and appear before him prior to the judgment, prior to standing before God in the judgment and hearing the decision of our lives and the choices that we've made in our lives. If prior to that we could hear what Jesus would have to say to us, how many of us would take advantage of that? Well, this morning I would like to consider a passage of Scripture in which that very situation happened. And you know, what's interesting is that Jesus said there was only one small thing that was lacking in the person which appeared before him. And so I'd like us to even look at that here this morning. So let's turn to Mark chapter 10, and this is the story of what we call the rich young ruler. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now we see three things in the character of this young man. We know he's young from other Gospels. The first is we see that he's running. That shows that there is an anxiety about his character. He's anxious to chase down Jesus Christ. That's a good thing. He kneeled. He knelt before Jesus. And so he has the right attitude that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's humble. And then thirdly, we see that he is seeking, he is concerned after the state of his soul. And we could add to that as an extra that he recognizes that in fact he doesn't have an assurance of salvation. And so maybe there's many people out there that can identify with that very situation. Maybe they've tried through the methods of their flesh and through the methods of religion that they've been associated with, as this man had. He had done all of the things that his religion had told him to do, and yet he knew that he didn't have eternal life. And Jesus answered unto him and said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." This is the law, these are the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments are, we know from other places in the New Testament, are given by God to be a schoolmaster, to lead men to Christ. And that's the very thing that he's doing here right now with this young man who's had this opportunity to be able to run up and catch up with Jesus and say, "What must I do for eternal life?" Well, the first thing Jesus does is he leads him through the fact that the man is lost. The fact that though he could keep those commandments, yet he would know in his heart that he doesn't have eternal life. That's the conviction. That's the lawful, proper use of the Old Testament law. "And the man answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth." So what he's saying is that in the flesh, he has tried to do everything that is in the commandments. Now, the question that I have, is that possible? Is it possible that he has never bore false witness, that he has always honored his parents, that he has never blasphemed the name of the Lord? We know not, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So this man is speaking a lie. He obviously has not observed all of those things from his youth. But you know, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And that is the case with every sinner. Jesus beholding the sinner. And if you're yet a sinner here this morning, then Jesus beholding you loves you. "And said unto him." But you know, Jesus' love is not without a price. Okay? The modern gospel says, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so they say, well, there's no price to that. It's free, and you don't have to do anything, and that, you know, you will end up entering into the glories of the kingdom of heaven. But that doesn't line up with the rest of Scripture. That's only a part of the picture. Yes, indeed, God loves the world. And God loves the world enough to give us what we need to know to come to Him. But here, Jesus gives this young man this parameter. And He says, one thing you lack. Wouldn't that be something if you would come to Christ and be able to ask Him before you come to judgment, well, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus would say to you, there's only one thing you must do. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and take up thy cross and follow me. And so the request here is a request for surrender. The requirement for discipleship is a requirement of surrender. That's what Jesus is saying to this young man. You must surrender. Now, let's find out what his thinking is on surrender. And, well, now it says here that the young man was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He was unwilling to surrender. He was anxious, he was humble, he was seeking. He was in a much better place than so many sinners that we know. So many sinners, they're not anxious. They don't care about Jesus. They're definitely not humble. They're not seeking. You know, those are three steps towards the kingdom of heaven. But the fourth step is the step of surrender. It's the step of saying, I can't do it for myself. I must have Jesus at whatever cost that the Lord would put his finger upon. And here, the cost that Jesus laid out before this man was to surrender. And it was a question of trust. Will you trust me? And the question for us this morning in our inspiration is, will we trust the Lord in all things? And you know, here it's easy to be critical of this rich young man. He had lots of money and he had great possessions. But, you know, will we trust the Lord with our health? Or are we unwilling to surrender our health? Are we running to the doctor all the time, or running to a witch doctor of some sort, or a concoctor, herbal healing nut? And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with herbals. We use them ourselves. But, you know, the question is, where is our trust being placed? In the area of our health and the health of our children. You know, if Jesus said to you, one thing that thou lackest, go thy way and trust in the Lord for the health of thy children, would you go away grieving, or would you go away rejoicing? And that's the question for us today. For some, it's the question of what do you do with your wealth? Do you trust the Lord enough to surrender your wealth to Him? It doesn't necessarily mean that He will take it away. The question is, are you willing to allow Him to? Are you willing to allow Him to? Well, I hear this thing twisted up and said, well, you know, does it have a place in your heart? Uh-uh. You can't test it that way, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know their own heart? You can't know your heart if you're attached to your wealth. The only way you really can know is, are you willing to get upon your knees and to say to the Lord, you may take anything that is in this world is mine. You may take all of my wealth. I trust you. I know you will provide. Are we willing to do that? It's not within the scope of a meditation here this morning, but how many different places are there where God is asking us to trust Him? And just like He asked this rich young man, He asked him to trust Him. Well, what is your response going to be this morning? Is your response going to be to go away sorrowing and grieved because you have great possessions or great attachment to something that you're unwilling to trust Him with? Or is it to go away rejoicing and following the Lord, bearing a cross with joy in your heart and being pleasing to God? and then hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter ye in to my rest." Now, just to emphasize the question of trust here, Jesus looked round about and said to his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And I want you to notice, in the very next verse, he says, "The disciples were astonished at his words, and Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" Having leads to trusting. And that's the question. That's why I brought it up this way this morning. Where is our trust placed? Is it placed in the uncertain riches of this world, or is our trust placed in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy? So let us be challenged this morning. Let us be changed. Let us be exhorted here today as we consider this in our daily inspiration. Thank you for joining us this morning, and God bless you as you seek Him.